Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for meditation this morning is the gospel lesson read before in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, which I would read again as follows. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior, yea, the only helper of poor sinners, beloved hearers of his precious and most wonderful word. Just a little over a month ago, as we celebrated together the nativity of our Savior, we heard the Christmas angel say to the quaking shepherds on Bethlehem's fields, Fear not. It was a sweet message of the gospel to terrified sinners. The message that God, out of love and mercy to fallen mankind, had sent his Son to ransom them from sin, from death, and from the devil. Had sent him to be the Lamb of God, sacrificed as payment in full for their transgressions. It was a message of peace on earth, that in view of Christ's vicarious satisfaction of divine justice, both by his holy life in our stead here in this vale of tears, in fulfillment of the demands of the law upon all mankind, and in view of his perfect innocent suffering and death on the tree of the cross in payment for the wages of sin, God forgave the whole world and declared all men to be righteous in his sight. This unilateral pardon of sinners meant that there was now no longer any reason to be afraid, either of God, or of his anger, or of his justice, or of his judgment. Indeed, by clinging to his unconditional pardon, by confiding in his gracious gift of salvation to poor, unworthy, undeserving sinners, and thus being justified by faith, the Apostle Paul says we have the very opposite of fear. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. Fear not, said the angel to the shepherds. Let not your heart be troubled, said the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Neither let it be afraid. Why was it then that the disciples of the Lord Jesus here in our text were overwhelmed with fear? What was it that produced such panic in their hearts? And why is it, my dearly beloved fellow hearers, that you and I, as well, often find ourselves consumed with doubt and uncertainty here in this world, with worries and cares of all kinds, with anxiety, yea, even with fear, concerning not only our situation in life, but concerning our future. We would do well to let the Savior ask us, in our consideration of this wonderful text before us this morning, why are ye fearful? Naturally, the first thing that occurs to us concerning the disciples and their fear is that they were in a very precarious situation, one with which they had little experience, even though they were professional fishermen and were used to rough weather on the Sea of Galilee. But this was one over which they had virtually no control. We read in our text that when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed them. Followed him. It had been at Jesus' own suggestion that he and the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee in the evening. For both St. Mark and Luke tell us that early in the evening, after Jesus had spent the entire day preaching and teaching, he said to them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord, of course, knew in his omniscience exactly what would happen on that voyage, a voyage which at that time of the day should have been as smooth as silk, so to speak. But whether he created the scenario especially for the occasion or whether he merely permitted the weather suddenly to change, the Lord knew to what purpose he would work this all out for the benefit of his disciples. "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea," Matthew tells us. "A storm driven by high winds," as Mark and Luke reported. Now, the disciples of Jesus had weathered storms before. They were, after all, in their element as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Storms were nothing new to them. But this one was different. The ship was covered with the waves, our text says. And Mark adds that the boat was literally full of water. The disciples were helpless to help themselves, as we say today. They couldn't bail fast enough to keep the boat from foundering. They were fighting a battle against the elements that they were unable to win. And where was Jesus in all of this? He was asleep in the stern of the boat, just as if he were completely oblivious to what was going on. He had to be awakened. The storm didn't waken him. The water in the boat didn't waken him. He was sound asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us." Had they done the right thing by waking Jesus and asking for his help? Does not the Lord, through the psalmist, exhort us, "Call upon me in the day of trouble"? Indeed he does. And does he not promise us in that same passage, "I will deliver thee"? Yes, he does. And he always makes good on his promises. But Jesus' question to the disciples strikes us at first hearing as being rather odd, doesn't it? Considering the precarious circumstances that they were in. He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful? Why are you afraid? Why are you in such a panic? Is there a problem here? Why indeed are you and I sometimes, perhaps oftentimes, fearful when the storms of life beat upon us?" And I'm not talking about little breezes that push us off course a bit here and there, or a few unseen waves that rock our boat. I'm not talking about a bout with the flu, a migraine headache, an altercation with the boss at work, a late charge or overdraft notice from the bank, a D on our child's report card, anything like that. I'm talking about the tempests over which we have no control. Like gale force winds and hurricanes that have our skiff, our little boat, up to the gunwales in seawater. Our house burns to the ground with all of our belongings. A car crash suddenly leaves us a paraplegic. We suddenly go blind permanently. We lose our job and our security a week before becoming eligible for retirement. Our diagnosis from the doctor is the onset of Alzheimer's disease or of ALS. "Why are ye fearful?" Jesus asks us. Is there a problem? And all the while, it seems as though Jesus is fast asleep in the stern of our boat, as if he isn't involved personally with us in our lives. Why would he otherwise have let something like that happen to us, we might ask? Would he not otherwise have preserved us from such catastrophes and calamities in the first place? Does he actually expect us to weather such storms on our own? These are indeed the very thoughts that well up in our fleshly minds at such times, thoughts that create in us virtual panic in the face of adversity. And thoughts that if they remain unchallenged by the chiding words of our Savior here in our text, they lead eventually to despair. Even though we might have cried out with Jesus' disciples, "Lord, save us." And of course, there are those hardy salts who have weathered many a storm, and with the Lord's help and by his strength have come back to shore in one piece. Christians whose gold has been tried in the fire and who have not murmured nor complained beneath the chastening rod of their Heavenly Father. We thank God for His gracious deliverance of His children from such adversities, as well as for the strength He gave them through His precious word to bear up under the sufferings of this present time. We often refer to such brethren, be they alive with us still today or departed into heaven, we often refer to them as our heroes of the faith. But sometimes even the most stalwart sufferer faces the test of a lifetime. And the disciples had to face it much sooner than they had ever imagined. For they were not just threatened with the loss of their boat. They were not just in danger of losing their livelihood as fishermen. They weren't only in jeopardy of injury, handicap, and disability as a result of this tempest. They cried out to Jesus, "We perish!" They were in jeopardy, Luke tells us. They were in immediate danger of going down with their boat. And Mark adds that consumed by their panic and giving way to their sinful flesh, they actually had the nerve to question Jesus' sincerity as their master, as their savior, as their helper, and as their friend. Mark quotes the disciples as screaming out to Jesus, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you even care that we are about to die?" What a thing to say to their Almighty Savior. It's one thing to suffer an adversity in this life, even a serious calamity that, like Lazarus's illness, is not unto death, as Jesus characterized it. Something that will eventually get over. For as the saying goes among the children of this world, who have absolutely nothing to look forward to of a positive nature at the time of death, where there's life, there's hope. Now we Christians, who know better than that from the word of our God, we still have clinging to us until the day we die the old Adam of sin, in which dwelleth no good thing. And when that flesh rears its ugly head and attempts to overcome the spirit of faith within us, then we too, in spite of the desire of the new man to do otherwise, we too become fearful. Just like the disciples in our text. And we hit the panic button. We may suffer a major heart attack. And the doctor says it's only a matter of hours or possibly days before your heart simply gives out. We might fall victim to recurring strokes that paralyze us, that cause us to have memory lapses, and all kinds of other debilitations. We might contract a catastrophic killer disease like ALS, MS, or even AIDS. Or we're diagnosed with terminal cancer. Then what? Lord, save us. We perish. Lord, don't you care that we are about to die? Do something about it. And Jesus seems to be asleep in the back of our life's boat. We're literally scared to death, as people say today. We're scared to death at the prospect of dying. Even though we Christians, who have everything to gain and nothing to lose in dying, in committing our souls into the gracious hand of our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake, and by departing not in fear, but departing in peace according to God's word, having seen God's salvation in the face of our dear Savior in His precious gospel, and holding fast to Him in confidence for everlasting life, why are ye fearful? Jesus asks us. Is there a problem? Is there a problem with this fatal, mortal illness that you have? Is there a problem because of the peril of death that is looming up before you? Now, if you and I were unbelievers, if we were manifestly impenitent sinners, if we were up in God's face, as it were, in smug self-righteousness and contemptuous of His holy justice, which declares us and all mankind by nature not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, they are all gone aside, they're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If we mocked at the Lord's warning through the Apostle Paul that the wages of sin is death, then indeed we would have plenty to be afraid of with the prospect of death looming up before us. For the temporal death of which we and all human beings have to face as a result of sin would be the jaws of eternal death in the damnation of hell. And that's what each and every one of us deserves by nature. Lord, save us. We perish. Carest thou not that we perish? Well, of course he does. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's how God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that, not of yourselves. This is completely out of your control. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So why then are ye fearful? Jesus tells us why, right here in our text. It's the very same reason why the disciples were fearful. In the face of adversity, even in face of jeopardy on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee, jeopardy of death. O ye of little faith, Jesus chided them. Despite all of their professional expertise as fishermen, despite all of their experience on that particular lake with its violent storms, the disciples of Jesus found themselves helpless to help themselves. And instead of resting their hearts calmly upon Jesus, their almighty Savior, helper and friend, they panicked, almost in despair. For Jesus asks them, according to Mark's account, how is it that ye have no faith? How is it that you have no confidence in me as your Savior? Their confidence in Jesus to help them, to save them, and to do it even without their panic-ridden plea, was completely lacking, which is why they were so fearful. You and I, my dear brethren, just like those disciples of Jesus, for all of our life experiences here in this world, for all of our professional expertise, which we may have in our daily calling, in spite of all secular learning which we may have acquired, are just like babes in the woods when it comes to dealing with matters that are simply out of our control or beyond our ability to manage. And it is then that we must cast all our care, all of it, upon our Lord and God who cares for us, the Bible assures us. Upon Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we even think. If we fail to do that, we will indeed be fearful. We will be needlessly fearful of those very things which we should confidently commit into the hands of our precious Savior. The storms of life which threaten us with harm and danger, and even the peril of death which impends over us each and every day. Concerning the former, the Apostle Paul challenges us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, even threats of violence. Little things like that, would they separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Fear not, says the Lord Jesus, even before his incarnation, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What do you think the relationship is here between us? That I wouldn't care about you? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's the relationship we have with him by the grace of God. And the peril of death itself should be of no concern to us. No cause for fear or panic whatsoever, if we, by faith, commend ourselves, body and soul, for time and eternity, into the hands of our Almighty Savior, Helper, and Friend, who by his vicarious atonement for our sins destroyed death by redeeming us from the curse of the law, who won life for us in the mansions of heaven by his mighty resurrection from the dead as the evidence of our justification. For his sake, we can declare with all boldness and confidence, without being fearful, without being filled with anxiety or panic, O death, where is thy sting? Where's the problem? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, from which our Savior has redeemed us. The strength of sin, what makes sin so bad, is the law, from whose curse our Savior has redeemed us. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Be still. When at last I reach the shore, and the fearful breakers roar 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then, while leaning on thy breast, let me hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, fearful, fearless, and confident of your salvation unto life everlasting. Amen.